Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Today on Advanced, learn how to make the most of a small space. Hi friends, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is June 14th and I'm Naomi, excited to be with you for our food article because, well, I do love food. Who doesn't? But we are talking about small spaces today. And this is a topic that I think has become pretty popular. I see a lot of different articles online and in magazines and so on about this idea of people living in small spaces and making the most of that space. So perhaps you've seen, you know, articles about that guy in Hong Kong who has one room that can change into 8 different configurations, or, you know, people who use one room apartments and they make it into their kitchen and their entertaining area and so on. It's very interesting to see how people use that space. But one place where it might seem like it's a little harder to make a small space do is in the kitchen, and that's what we're focusing on today, equipping a tiny kitchen. Now, I have lots of help today to discuss this topic, and first I'll turn to someone who I know has an especially tiny kitchen these days, Catherine.
Hi, Naomi. Thank you for having me. And yes, I do have a brand new tiny kitchen. Yeah.
What kind of challenges does that present?
Well, there's no counter space, so anytime that you want to make something, there's no room to spread everything out. You kind of have to have it all together. And then we also have no drawers, so I can't store anything anywhere. So I can't have a lot of equipment in my kitchen.
So. Right. So do you end up cooking very much?
Honestly, no. But that could be because I just don't have time. But yeah, right. There's also, it's too hard sometimes.
Yes. You would probably be more likely to if you had a little more space.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, also joining us is someone who has some space in his kitchen, Campbell.
Hello, everyone. Yes, I do have a decent-sized kitchen. My wife and I remodeled it recently, so it's more to what we like. But yeah, I definitely hear you, Catherine, on the counter space. It's hard to really chop things and get things ready when you don't have that space.
Definitely. It's a little discouraging when you're considering making something for dinner, when you look at the space you have to work in and think, oh, I'm going to have to clean up everything as I go. It's going to take me twice as long. It's discouraging. And I know someone who's had experience with this as well is Lois.
Hi, everyone. Yes, definitely. And when we're looking at our magazine article today, on page 26, that's the counter space size I had to cook for a family of 4 for a number of years. And so it was challenging. And I always entertained a lot, too, our family did. So then you'd add a lot more people to that 4. So
what were some of the ways that you handled that?
Well, thankfully, small kitchen space, but opened onto a large room. So I would use my dining room table quite a bit. I would be really organized with my sink as well. And I don't know. I felt like I had a little bit of a juggling act going on.
Yes. Yeah. Our kitchen right now is smaller than the one in that picture. Mm-hmm. And so I also end up using the dining room table quite a lot. I'll set out my cutting board and my ingredients and sort of, you know, scurry from the table to the kitchen and back again. And it works. It's, again, a little bit more work than having just the space all set up. But it is possible to do this. And so our article has some more tips for us about how to make small kitchens work for us. And I think this is probably going to apply to many of us out there because a lot of us do either share our living space or we just have very small apartments. But where we start off, we're sort of talking about this idea of becoming a better cook. And this is something I think a lot of us aspire to. We might enjoy watching cooking shows or reading recipes, trying new things. But do we really have time and motivation to become better cooks? Well, this article will help encourage us. So let's begin our reading on page 26.
Developing a Tiny Kitchen, a budding chef's guide to sticking to the essentials. The new gym membership? Unused. Flossing more often? That's between my dentist and me. But I do have one resolution I'm sticking to: becoming a better cook. Unfortunately, it's not that simple. I live in a small apartment, and lack of space has always been an issue. So before I become a better cook, I really need to get a better kitchen. No, I'm not procrastinating, I promise. Thanks to a professional chef, I've discovered a few culinary tips and hacks to help me tidy up my kitchen and become a more efficient apartment-dwelling cook in the process.
Equipping a tiny kitchen. Now, if you equip something or someone, what are you doing?
It means that you prepare it with the tools and the different things that you might need in order for you to use it. So here we're talking about a kitchen. So we're talking about, you know, getting knives and utensils and pots and pans and different things that you might need to be able to prepare a meal.
Right. If you may be starting out on your own, then this kind of topic is very interesting because you might be thinking, oh, what do I get first? What do I need? I don't know. And so here's a list. Actually, we call it a guide in the deck.
That's right. And our deck says a budding chef's guide to sticking to the essentials. Now, a budding chef means one that is growing or developing or maybe just starting out. So I think that's a lot of us. We're all maybe budding chefs. We would like to start cooking. So, yeah.
Right.
Stick to the basics.
Yeah. When people ask me if I can cook, I'm like, well, some recipes, you know, I have sort of a few that I can do, but I'm not really a cook. I'm more of a budding chef myself, too. But here they say you need to stick to the essentials. So just start with the basics. And how do we begin this article, Lois?
We begin this article with checking on some things in our life. It says the new gym membership. It's a question. Unused. Flossing more often. That's between my dentist and me.
Okay, so we see there's sort of like a list going on here of kind of resolutions, things that we're trying to do to become better, healthier people.
Right. And I notice, you know, our articles in June, we're getting halfway through the year. So maybe we're thinking, okay, I didn't do it in January, so July 1st, I'm going to do it.
I do have those moments where I think, well, I sort of failed that resolution. But okay, we're halfway through the year. Here we go. And gym memberships for sure. And you know, dental care, so on. But what is the resolution here that our author is wanting to stick to, wanting to really try?
Well, our author of this article really wants to stick to becoming a better chef. So that tells me, Naomi, that the person writing this article is a cook, but they're not a chef yet. So they don't have the finesse, maybe.
Okay, so there's someone who's probably very familiar with cooking already, but they don't really feel like they've mastered it. They don't really feel like a professional. So becoming a better cook, this is the resolution that this guy is going to stick with, going to keep going with. But as we get to the next paragraph.
Well, he has a little bit of a problem. He says it's not that simple. He lives in a small apartment, and because of that, lack of space has always been an issue. Small apartments don't have a lot of room, so he probably also has a small kitchen.
Right. I always hear people say things like, I can't even turn around in this kitchen. You know, it's so cramped. And it is hard to work in that kind of space. And so it sounds like he's kind of making excuses here.
Yeah. He says, before I become a better cook, I need to get a better kitchen. We just said that. Sounds like he's making an excuse, but then he says he's not procrastinating. And when you procrastinate, you put off, you delay doing something that you need to do. So he promises he's not putting off trying to become a better cook.
Right. He says, I swear this is a real reason, you guys. It really is a problem. I'm not just making excuses. And we see that actually, even though he's still in that small space, he is in the process of getting a better kitchen. How?
Well, it says, thanks to a professional chef, I've discovered a few culinary tips and hacks.
Okay, so a professional chef has given him some advice. And when we say culinary, what do we mean?
Culinary, that's talking about, like, the food, what we're doing, preparation, and that sort of thing that every chef will master. This is their profession. This is what they do.
Good. Culinary to do with kitchen and food and prep, like you were saying. A few culinary tips and hacks. Now, this use of the word hack is an interesting one.
Yeah, the hack is just a method of dealing with something successfully. So it's just methods and ways of being able to, you know, maximize your minimal space.
Right. Now, this is a sort of a new use of this term because we used to talk about, like, computer hacking, for instance.
Yeah. There are hackers who hack into computers, but now I think that this usage is more of like a trick to get around an obstacle, like something easy you can do to make a problem more manageable.
Right. Yeah. Almost like a shortcut.
Yeah.
And I've
yeah.
seen, for example, if you browse the internet a bit, you'll notice things like Life Hacker, a website uh-huh. that has tips on, you know, here's how to organize your cables, put them in old toilet paper rolls. Here's how to prevent the end of the tape from sticking to the rest of the roll. Put a little plastic tab under it. You know, so little ideas like this, they call them life hacks. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here, this kind of hack, it's like a shortcut, a trick to try. But all these things have helped our author, haven't they, Campbell?
Yes, they've helped him tidy up his kitchen and become a more efficient apartment-dwelling cook in the process. So here we see a tidy up, which just means to organize, to clean up his kitchen, and then to become more efficient, which just means to be able to use what he has in the most optimal way possible.
Good. All right. So let's find out how he does it. There's three different sections that we're going to cover today and tomorrow, talking about the keys to being this efficient apartment-dwelling cook. The first one is cut the clutter. Let's find out what they mean in our next reading.
Cut the clutter. As one of the most used rooms in the home, the kitchen can quickly become clutter central. But plan ahead and you can make the most of your time, money, and shelf space. Tim Maloney, the chef de cuisine at Pink Avocado Catering in Austin, Texas, said this strategy is essential. Mise en place is one of the first things they go over in cooking school. Translated, it means everything in its place. Organization is everything. A magnetic knife strip lets you wall mount your blades and get rid of that clunky knife block in the corner. Ditch the lazy Susan by installing a wall-mounted spice rack. DIY options will allow you to become a master chef. The inside of your cabinet door is space probably going unused. With a cabinet door lid rack, you can stash all the lids to your pots and pans in one handy space and never go searching again.
So when we say cut the clutter, Lois, we're not, you know, slicing up our items into little pieces, are we?
Yeah, we're not doing that, Naomi, but we are certainly reducing it, if not getting rid of it completely.
Okay, good. So getting rid of that clutter. Now, we see that the kitchen is a good place to start when it comes to clutter.
Yeah, our story says, as one of the most used rooms in the home, the kitchen quickly becomes clutter central. And what I think that means is that whenever you come home, the kitchen is the first place you go. You just might toss your bag down, your keys down, and then everything just kind of sticks around there and the junk sort of builds up fast.
Right. We call it clutter yeah. central as like the main place for clutter to go. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense. I think a lot of us can go for a couple days without going into our living rooms, you know, and might use our bedrooms only for sleeping. But the kitchen, you're in and out of there all the time. And so it does make sense. Clutter central. But
plan ahead and you can make the most of your time, money, and shelf space. So here we have some tips on how to maximize our time, our money, and the available space that we have.
Okay, so all of those things are issues when it comes to the kitchen. Mm-hmm. We don't often have a lot of time to prep and get everything ready, especially for me in the mornings. I'm always in a rush. Money, of course, is always an issue because if you can afford to remodel your whole kitchen, that's wonderful. But, you know, not everyone can, or maybe you're renting, right?
Right, right. You know, Naomi, just a couple of years ago, we did a kitchen installation in Canada, and it does cost a lot of money. And we weren't doing a remodeling, but a whole installation. And it's like, whoa, it's beautiful and I have lots of conveniences, but it costs a lot.
It can add up quickly. So that's an issue for people. And of course, shelf space. Katie, I know you relate to that one.
Yes. Well, we have a decent amount of shelf space, but it's all very small. And because I said earlier, we don't have any drawers in the kitchen, that's where everything is stored. So it is very cluttered. It looks really untidy, and it's hard to find anything when I need it. I'm always digging around for a spoon or for a knife or something.
Yeah, I think that's where the whole saving time comes in, too. You know,
that's true.
You know where things are, you don't have to, like, dig around and search for it. You can just grab it and go.
Right. Well, and there's so many tools that you need in your kitchen. You know, you need to store all your food somewhere, for starters, but you still do need a big variety of items when you're cooking. And so how do you keep them organized? Well, we hear from an expert.
Yes, Naomi, we hear from Tim Maloney, the chef de cuisine at Pink Avocado Catering in Austin, Texas.
It's a fun name for a catering company.
I agree.
What is a catering company, Lois?
Well, a catering company is somebody that will prepare meals, maybe for a small group or a large group, and often they deliver them or do them on site if you're renting a hall.
Right.
So it might be for a wedding reception, might be for a bridal shower, might even be for a funeral.
Right. Okay, so we see a few terms here that are all in French, Campbell.
Yes, we see the term chef de cuisine. Chef de cuisine is a skilled and trained cook who works in a restaurant as the most important cook and head of the kitchen. So here the word chef de cuisine in French just means the cook of the meal, I guess.
Yeah, basically. It's like the head cook.
Right.
The boss. So he says this strategy is essential, and that strategy is mise en place, which is another French term, and this one, fortunately, is translated for us.
Yes, luckily for me. It means everything in its place, and then it says organization is everything, and that's really important because you need to know where everything is. It's all about organizing and knowing where your equipment is.
Right. He says mise en place is one of the first things they go over in cooking school.
Right. You want to make sure that you know where everything is and have everything organized. He says organization is everything. That's what helps to keep your kitchen efficient and helps to make it neat and organized.
Right. And I was reading a book by a chef that we're actually going to mention tomorrow, Anthony Bourdain, and he was talking about how mise en place is something that is a really big deal in culinary culture, in the world of chefs and in those kitchens and fancy restaurants, where you don't want to mess with someone else's organizational system. If someone moves something, it's a big deal. You can get in serious trouble with somebody for rearranging their knives. You would never do that because they need to know exactly where everything is. So how do we stay organized on our more personal, smaller scale?
Well, for me, at my apartment, we have a few different little, I guess, little trays that we can put our silverware in. We have a few hooks where we hang our pots and pans, which is good because it gets it off the shelves. And that's about it at this point.
Yeah.
We just moved in, to be fair.
To be fair. Yeah, we've come up with some fairly creative things with hanging baskets and various shelving and so on. But it can be very tricky.
Yeah. I like some of the tips that they give here with the magnetic knife strip. I think that's a really great idea. It gets your knives off the counter. It uses the wall space, which is often unused, so it's a great way to maximize the space that you have. The magnetic knife strip, we see a picture of it on the left corner, bottom left corner of page 26. It's just a strip where you can just stick your knives on there.
Right. It says it lets you wall mount your blades. So in other words, mount them on your wall. When we talk about mounting something on a wall, it's this idea of sticking it up there. And now often you'll see people do this with their big flat screen TVs. They will be mounted onto the wall so that they're just hanging there like a piece of art. It's very convenient because you don't have to set it down on top of anything. And it does save so much space. And it gets rid of what?
Well, it gets rid of something I actually like, the clunky knife block in the corner. But somebody like me, if I do have counter space, I love a knife block because I just pull them out really fast. I've got them all memorized, which knife is which. And I've used one since the very start of my marriage, which is like 29 years, because it was a wedding gift.
Right. So this is part of your mise en place.
It certainly is.
Right. You know where those knives are. Yeah. You like having the block. But if someone's just starting out and they don't have much space, it makes sense
that this block is
clunky. It does take up a big percentage of your counter space. And so if you can do without it, it might be a good idea. All right, what's the next tip?
He says to ditch the Lazy Susan by installing a wall-mounted spice rack. Now, when you ditch something, you get away from it, kind of let it go. And a Lazy Susan is a circular piece of wood that's usually on a table. And you can put things on it and then turn it around.
Right.
So
now,
everyone can
Lazy wear. Susans, that's something that we're familiar with seeing in restaurants. Often there will be one at the middle of a circular table, and you put all the food on it, and it spins around, and everyone can reach.
Yeah. I am used to them, Naomi, in Canada, inside a cupboard in a kitchen. But the thing I have always found a problem about them is you need a deep space for it. It's dark inside the cupboard. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is if you go too fast, everything on that Lazy Susan falls down and makes a mess. And now Lazy Susan had made me a very hardworking Lois to clean it all up.
Okay, so it is not always the best option. Sometimes it seems like it makes sense because it's easy to spin around. And you will see a lot of spice jars on a Lazy Susan so that you can spin it and reach the different ones you want. But they're suggesting something else.
Yeah, they're suggesting, again, another wall-mounted something. They're talking about a spice rack in this case. It's a rack or a shelf that you just put all your spices out and you can see them right in front of your face.
Right, and they're saying DIY options will allow you to become a master chef. You don't have to spend a ton of money on this.
Right, you can do it yourself. The only recommendation I have for our listeners is don't put it near where there's steam and don't put it near where there's heat because you'll ruin your spices.
That's an important point. So it still might make sense to put it on the inside of a cupboard or on, you know, some side of the kitchen that isn't too close to the stove or to the hot sink. Okay, so try something a little different for organizing your spices. And what is our final tip?
Well, he's talking about using the space inside of your cabinet door. It's space that we don't usually use. And he says that with a cabinet door lid rack, you can hang all the lids to your pots and pans right there. And that way, he says, you never have to go searching again.
So. Okay. So when, for us, you know, we keep the pots and pans in a big cupboard underneath the stove. Mm-hmm. And we don't really use that door space. And it is kind of a mess in there. And I could see it being more organized.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you always have to, you know, for us too, we also keep our pots and pans under the stove. And then you have to, you know, sometimes the lid gets separated from the pot and you have to like dig around for the lid. And is this the right lid? Or wait, no, that's not the right lid. It's too small. It's too big. And it's just, you know, if you can just have it all laid out and maximize your space.
Right. We talk about stashing the lids in one handy space. And if you stash something, what does that mean?
It means you keep it there. You kind of hide it. They're all there together, just in one spot.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes someone will, you know, we're sitting somewhere and they have to blow their nose. Oh, I have some napkins stashed in my purse, you know. That kind of idea of kind of storing something somewhere that you can't really notice it easily. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, before we finish up for today, let's go to our feature.
Ugh, I want to become a better cook, but I lack the space to cook in my small apartment. If only there was something I could do.
Aha, mademoiselle. It sounds like you are procrastinating.
Who are you?
I am Chef Pierre, chef de cuisine at the French Catering in New York, and I am here to help you organize your kitchen.
I'm a budding chef, but I lack the space to cook in my small apartment. I'm hopeless.
There is hope for you. Aha! I have had small kitchens foisted upon me in the past, but if you consolidate your equipment, a small kitchen can be easy to cook in.
Well, that's encouraging to hear for a foodie like me. What should I change about my kitchen to have more space?
First of all, your cutlery is atrocious for a kitchen this small.
It is important to consolidate and only keep the items that you need.
I thought in order to become a good chef, you needed to have a lot of equipment in your kitchen.
No, mademoiselle. That is a common belief about cooking. But it is actually better to only use the must-have items in your kitchen.
Thank you for all your tips. I'm looking forward to making my kitchen a hub for cooking.
Okay, so we have a lot of great tips for cutting the clutter. One other one that I can think of is just make sure that you do your spring cleaning every year. You know, go through those drawers, go through the cupboards, and see what you're really using and what you can probably toss or give away. Any other suggestions?
I think definitely, again, the whole organizing thing. I think just not, you know, having things where you can see it or where you can find it easily, that'll save you a lot of time.
I have a small kitchen now, but what I do right outside the kitchen door, inside the apartment we're in, I have put our pantry. And that really helps, too, because then all my dry goods are very conveniently placed in this pantry, but also convenient to grabbing them from the kitchen.
Right.
So it doesn't have to always be right in the kitchen, but really close by.
Okay, that's a great point.
I was going to say plan out everything ahead of time. Maybe write out what you need and, you know where it is before you start your meal or start cooking your meal so that you don't have to go searching for it when you need it.
Yeah, and also just keeping things that you know you use more often in spots that are easier to reach, you know. And then those things that you only use a few times a year, you can hide those somewhere else, keep them out of your way. All right, well, lots of good tips and plenty more coming tomorrow, and we would love to hear your thoughts on this. And of course, if you have any tips for equipping a tiny kitchen, please tell us about them at our Facebook page or at studioclassroom.com, where you can also enjoy the topic talks and English corner and discussion questions, all kinds of resources for you. So we'll see you online, and we'll see you back here tomorrow for day 2 of this article.